You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Right now, use promo code SPORTS20. That's promo code SPORTS20 to get a free $20 bet at PlayAlberta.ca. Colin, you look at the... there was no crashes in the race. Minimal contact at the start. 18 of the 20 cars finished. Interesting though, like if you look at the time though between the top two, like Red Bull and everybody else, it really wasn't that competitive of a race.
No, not even remotely. Red Bull is just. It's just toying with everyone. It's definitely a two-car battle for the championship, at least as things sit right now, and there's no indication that that's going to change. And really, while Perez has really had some pretty good momentum going into last weekend, Max pretty much just smacked him down and said, like, listen, this is my championship to lose. Hopefully we get to see a little bit, but I saw an awful lot of conversation this week, and it, you know, lots of things bother me. I don't think that's really a secret. I'm a pretty easy guy to agitate, but lots of talk from F1 people kind of posturing and grandstanding. Christian Horner was definitely is not my favorite person in the world, but he's making comments of like, yeah, we were out there. We have such a big lead right now. We don't know where everybody else is. Like, you know, essentially extending, you know, a bunch of middle fingers to the rest of the field, which, you know, right now they've got it. They've got the thing. And, you know, fortunately, I'm not saying that there's a, you know, some kind of, you know, conspiracy or anything like that, but when the rules change to run this style of car, their engineer Adrian Newey is the expert. He didn't invent this, but he perfected this ground effect technology, so the rules worked in their favor and they've been able to exploit it better than anyone else. It's a matter of time before the other teams kind of catch up, but, you know, don't mistake good fortune for, you know, intuition. And right now, you know, he's getting a little, you know, he's always been a fairly arrogant guy. Even our old friend Gunther Steiner, who is, you know, always good for a great soundbite, very direct and honest, he was kind of chucking IndyCar under the bus, talking about how their ratings are really dwindling right now. And, that they want to supplant, IndyCar in the ratings. I was actually motivated to write a big blog post this week for my other life, you know, talking about like the sheer value of what these things are versus what you get. And for the price of a ball cap, and Gregor, you saw this when you were at Montreal last year. I mean, a ball cap sells for $90 US, like $90 US. A t-shirt is $100, and Lord help you if you want to buy a polo. That's before you buy a ticket. To get on the grounds at Miami last weekend was $590 for 3 days of general admission. By comparison, this weekend's Indy 500 or the Indy GP, you can get not just general admission. You can get a grandstand ticket starting at $40. And the most expensive ticket in the place, I don't have it right in front of me, was something like $110. Like, and provides far, far, far superior actual racing. You know, the cars aren't as technologically sound, but man, I don't understand why these guys just can't let sleeping dogs lie. You know, they're just agitating everything, and there's no positive to it, because once people wake up to what, you know, some of this racing is all about, and if they ever get to see these other series, it's like, why would you pay the kind of money that you've got to pay to watch really, really bad racing?
Sticking with F1, there's maybe some change happening at AlphaTauri. Who might be replacing a Nyck de Vries?
Right now, the rumor is, and it's completely that a rumor, Danny Ricciardo, who is obviously under contract with Red Bull right now, everyone knows who Daniel Ricciardo is. He's in Italy for a seat fitting, which, you know, is fueling the speculation that with Nyck de Vries, the rookie, having a really, really rough start to his career, that the team could theoretically throw Ricciardo in the seat. I mean, it could be nothing more than because he's a reserve driver, he just has to be there anyway. But that started running rampant here the last day or two.
Colin Livingston joins us in the CanTorque Racing Report. You know, there are a few other things. You know, the other big thing was people were upset. I saw some of the drivers because, you know, they had a lot more pomp and circumstance before this race, right? Like, they're interviewing the players. It's almost, and, you know, they do that in other sports. Some of the drivers, you know, George Russell, I'm here to race. I'm not here for the show. I prefer to talk to my engineers and put my helmet on and drive Verstappen. You know, Hamilton was the only one who goes, I thought it was cool. No issue from me. That's just, sometimes you got to change. And I think in the U.S., like, player introductions are a big thing in North America, right? So, obviously, it didn't impact anybody driving. To me, it's kind of needless complaining. And it's something different. I saw some traditionalists who hated it. But I just think that, you know, sports change and evolve. Well, what did you think about the big extended introductions?
Yeah, I'm first of all going to disagree with you, Gregor, that it didn't impact anything. You got to keep in mind now, especially with this year's rule, these drivers aren't just getting paraded out for driver intros. They've got to go out in their gear. So they're wearing their undershirts, they're wearing their fire suits, they're standing out in the sun, and they're basically baking. You know, that's not easy to do when you're just sitting there. Like, at least when they're in the car, they get, you know, their cool air, they have a cool suit, they can take a drink of water, you know, not that they couldn't hear, but, you know, just that time is where you really need to get to your last details. You need to talk to your engineer. You need to kind of get your mind set on what you're going to do, because if you're trying to do that while you're doing your parade laps, you're already behind the eight ball. To me, I see it as F1 is really starting to jump the shark, that they're trying to put too much sizzle out there because there's not enough stake during the event. If all you see is these cars going around, like I was talking about before, and there's not a lot of passing, you got to create some excitement somewhere. And I think this is kind of where F1 is going. I don't mind the driver intro side of things, but they've got it. If they're going to do it, they need to do it earlier in the session while drivers are still in street clothes, so that they're not sitting there and making their own gravy while they're you know, baking like hams.
Shifting over to IndyCar, this week IndyCar is running a road course at IMS. Do they have to set the cars up differently because it's a road course?
Oh yeah, there's no comparison between how the cars operate. If you can take a snapshot, and I'll probably do this anyway, you take a snapshot of the car on a road course. They use these big wings. They use, you know, full aerodynamic downforce because that's what's needed to get through the corners, and that's what's needed to help the cars get grip. During the 500, it's a completely different wing setup. They streamline these cars to the absolute minimum to make sure that they have just enough grip to get through the corners. Totally different package. The chassis are the same, the engines are the same, but everything else inside is different. But they have, you know, they'll have lots of backup cars at this point. You know, they'll have cars that are ready for the 500, which practice starts already on Tuesday, and it'll be all next week. So, yeah, officially in the month of May.
Well, which is awesome. You know, it's a huge one. Everybody enjoys it. There's carb day, pull day, then there's the bump day, of course, on Sunday. Also, you also have in May the Pinty Series is getting going outside of Barrie, Ontario. I know on your podcast you're going to have kind of a preview, I would think, with Alex Tagliani later on today, if I'm not mistaken. Just kind of what's kind of the series? If you had to give me an overview of the Pinty Series, NASCAR's Pinty Series getting going, what's kind of your overview of what to expect this year?
Yeah, I'm just excited to get back to it. I get on I haven't been traveling a lot, so tomorrow's going to be my first plane ride in like 2 months or something like that, which for me is really uncharacteristic. You know, within our team, I think we're looking pretty good. We've made some big changes to, the equipment, you know, Scott Steckley and all of our, you know, we've got a new crew chief this year. So that's pretty exciting. Of course, we never know what we're going to have until we get to race one. But always look forward to Sunset. You know, two wins there. We actually lapped the field in 2016, I think it was. You know, no big changes to personnel. Nobody's really left. No big rookies coming in. But yeah, always going to, you know, always great to come back. And yeah, I called in the odd favor to get Tag lined up, to do my Talk and Torque, podcast here, which, you know, we don't want people to tune away from your show, but, it'll kick off here in just a little under an hour. So we'll go over all that, the karting program that we have, the major announcement that we get to finally talk about here. Tag and his group have taken over a new go-kart track, so that's going to be fun to drill down. And yeah, hopefully we come back with all of our fingers and toes after Saturday night.
Well, that's always important. One last one. You'd heard the rumor about Ricardo and De Vries. What do you make of that?
I think they would be absolutely foolish if they didn't at least consider it. If they pulled De Vries out of the car and put Ricardo in, there's nothing saying that they can't put him back. But, you know, Ricardo's already under contract. Ricardo's already getting paid and, you know, is definitely a more touted asset than what Nick De Vries is. Maybe Nick needs a little time on the sidelines to watch what's happening there. I don't know, but you know, the team at Red Bull have said that what was lacking in Ricardo the last couple of years after his time with McLaren, he's more than recovered in the simulator with them, and I think they're itching to see what he can do. They announced this week he's going to do a test drive in the 2019 car it wouldn't be a 2019 car, but at Silverstone for a tire test. And away he goes. I mean, I think if he gets a taste of it, they will not be able to pull him out of the car again, because he'll just, you know, he'll make De Vries look pretty questionable. I think he'll definitely outshine Yuki Tsunoda, and then you got a driver conflict on your hands.
Awesome stuff, Colin. Appreciate your time, man. We'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, thanks a lot, guys.